The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. I'm your host this morning, Rob Burrows, the director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, two combat tours in Iraq, United States Navy Seabees. And I'll tell you what, you know, we had a fantastic Thanksgiving here this last week in the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services and Silver Star Veterans and Widows Program stepped up to the plate and help to take care of our veterans and our widows in our community. Joining me this morning is Michelle Kwistoff. She is the liaison for Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. And, Michelle, what did we do for Thanksgiving for our military personnel in our Northern California area this last week?
Well, good morning, Chief. And we did about 125 meals. We were blessed to be able to do a food drive with Safe Mart Groceries over on Churn Creek in Redding. And the community just stepped up in an amazing way. And they donated turkeys and hams and groceries and mashed potatoes and all kinds of fun loving things for us to be able to create these packages for our troops and our military families and veterans and widows, here in our Northern California area. And we spent a better part of 2 weeks trying to get all this together to be able to hand them out. And
I went to Kent's Market because Kent out there at Kent's Market, he donates to Homeward Bound all the time through the different programs we have for the Veterans Museum. So we do a shout out to Kent's Market and to say thank you to them for all of the support that they give us in the community and for being able to reach out and take care of. They donated the food for our Vietnam Veterans Dinner that we had back in July and August. And then also they helped support us through the program for the Wall of Honor, the Wall of Remembrance, and we had the wall here. And so we went back. I ordered 100 turkeys from Kent's Market 6 weeks ago because we just didn't know if they were going to be able to get out there. And Kent didn't donate the turkeys, but he gave us a fantastic price on it. We want to try to keep our money local here in our community whenever possible. And we definitely, those who support us when we have grant money to come back in, we support them financially as we can through our grant funding. The funding, once again, came in this year through the Iron Soldier Ride. We were able to raise $28,000 to help offset these costs and to be able to take care of that. But that money isn't for a one-time use. That money is used throughout the entire year. And we budget that funding so that we can make that happen. And so, once again, thank you to Kent and Kent Market out there, Kent and Kathy, for all of their support and everything that they do. And, you know, like you were saying with Save Mart and the local banks that have been working with us with Cornerstone and then Golden One and then Tri-Counties Bank, all of our bags that we put all of the food in for the families, all the grocery bags, those are all donated by Tri-Counties in Cottonwood. And so a shout-out to Tri-Counties and Cottonwood and in Golden One. They supported us as a primary supporter for the Iron Soldier Ride. And so we thank you for your support, for stepping up. You know, as a nonprofit, we are not able to do anything without the support of others. Through the programs that we have, there's no paid wages, but it's a labor of love. And if the money doesn't come in for us to be able to present it and utilize it for our community, we just cannot support and help the folks in our community that are in need. And when I say folks, I mean military families and military widows and widowers, men and women both, who have lost a loved one. Our programs reach out and touch those folks.
Yes, they do. And like I said, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without the help of our community because, you know, we are a small organization. We run on a skeleton crew, And if we don't get the grants, we have to go out and fundraise and go find it and get support through other local organizations and businesses in our area. So we know our North State's amazing. We know our community is awesome, and we appreciate everything that they donate. Every single time they step up, we've never had a year that since I've been with the museum that we haven't been able to provide meals or be able to provide Christmas gifts or the packages for the troops. So it does make a huge difference. You know, it's a small thing to one person, but to one thing, one person, it can be the whole world.
Well, and we've had several vehicles donated to us this last year. We were able to repurpose those vehicles and repair them. And one of the vehicles was donated to us by a veteran's widow who was no longer driving, and we turned around and cleaned that vehicle up and repaired it. And we turned around and handed it back to a World War II widow who also had her husband had passed, and then we went ahead and she married a Vietnam veteran, and he had passed also because of Agent Orange. And she was kind of on her down and out. She had to take the bus everywhere or rent a car. She didn't have any transportation. And so we were able to take that car that was donated to us and turn around and give it to a widow that was in need. And, you know, let me tell you, if you have never had the opportunity to gift something to somebody who is desperately in need, the joy that they get, the thanks, the appreciation, you know, we're talking about Thanksgiving that we just had this last week. There are so many things that we as an organization are thankful for, to be able to turn around and make a difference. You know, I've said it many times before, and I'll say it again. The military sends us all over the world to help people we don't know. We sacrifice our lives. We sacrifice our health. We sacrifice our service. We sacrifice our livelihood with our families. And then to come home and not know what to do. Should have died several times while I was in Iraq. So when I came back, I developed these nonprofits and these opportunities here in our community after seeing the need that was there, and to be able to step up and continue the mission to help those that are in need. Only we're helping those at home in our own community who have served or sacrificed and continue to make a difference in their lives. And I think it is so important, especially for me, this is my second chance at life because I should have been gone the first time. And I don't say that nonchalantly. It was really difficult for me to be able to talk about that, for many years. But I struggled trying to find out why I survived when others didn't. Why did I come home when others didn't? And so this is, my mission here in our community to continue to help others, that are in need. You know, and I'm a Christian and I believe in God, and I believe that I was given the second chance to be able to come home. I've seen many soldiers, sailors, and Marines lose their lives on the combat field in Iraq, Fallujah, and Baghdad, and all over the Al-Anbar province. And to be able to come back home and to be able to continue to make a difference in people's lives, like I said, they send us all over the world to help people we don't know. How important is it for us to come home and help people that we do know? And so here in our North State, because we do have a large population of veterans, somewhere between 16 and 20,000 veterans in throughout the counties here in Northern California. And then you add a spouse to that. And then you add children to that. And then you add grandchildren to that. There is a great military influence in our Northern California area. And one of the things that the military teaches you is self-reliance. Go, go, go. Do it yourself. You can make it. Do it yourself. Don't ask for help. Just do it. And our veterans come back from wherever they served, whether it's a war zone or just their service in general. And then they come up to a crisis in their life, and they don't ask for help because everything they've been taught is go, go, go. Do it yourself. Don't ask for help. And so it's really tough sometimes. Veterans struggle to ask for that help. They struggle to be able to reach out and say, hey, I actually need help, but I'm not, I don't know who to go to, or I'm not going to talk to anybody about it because I'm embarrassed. Well, we are here through our organizations, through Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, through Silver Star Veterans and Widows, through Christmas for the Troops. These programs we've developed because there's a need. And we have been supported through the community as we move forward, to be able to continue to do this. And we could not do it without the help of those individuals, those business owners in our community. There's so many, it's very hard to be able to tell all of their names and all of their companies, but they know who they are. And we greatly appreciate that support from those individuals who step up and to help us take care of those. And many times, you know, this is not a welfare project. This is a project to help people out of a hole, to help them along, to get them to the next step so they can continue to be successful in our community. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's keep it 100. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but it ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bout it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas. If only
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we're in that season between Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know, that song was made famous during World War II in the 1940s when men were gone from home for the holidays, and they were gone for everything because they were there till the duration, till the end of the war. And I always used to watch the World War II movies as a kid and see that and listen to that and think about it and ponder it until I was in Fallujah, Iraq in 2006 and 7 for Christmas, and I listened to that song while I was overseas. And it's one thing to listen to that song. It's another thing to be. ...12,000 miles from home. And to listen to those words. And to think of all the things that are happening around you. And to think of all the things that you've left behind. Brings a whole new meaning to the song. Brings a whole new meaning to the appreciation of life. And to what we leave here behind in the United States. A way of life, a way of freedom, a way of love in our family. And our friends, and the things that we cherish the most. When we were in Fallujah, Iraq, they shut us down on our convoys 3 days before Christmas because they didn't want anybody to die in Iraq over the Christmas holiday because they didn't want to make a phone call home to somebody on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day and say, your son or your daughter died during that time frame. Because who wants to have that as a memory of a loss of a son or a daughter during Christmas or New Year's? And so Christmas Eve we spent in a large event center on the base of Fallujah. It was used by Saddam Hussein to speak to his Republican Guard when he did his troops. And they didn't have a Christmas morning service, but they had a Christmas Eve service. And there's nothing like going to a Christmas Eve service with your full battle rattle, your bulletproof vests and all your gear and your sidearms, your helmet and everything else. Because at any given time, there could be a mortar attack or enemy fire or anything like that. So you have to be prepared all the time to make sure that you're safeguarding yourself and those around you. And it is so surreal to be in a combat zone during Christmas and to be, like I said, in full combat gear, knowing full well that at any given time you could be called to action, and yet you're trying to experience something as normal could be for Christmas Eve or for a Christmas Day. But you're surrounded by your buddies, and you're surrounded by your comrades, and those are the individuals that become your new Christmas family. And maybe you got a box from home. I got several boxes from home with different goodies and things like that, and a small Christmas tree that I had in my little room there in Camp Fallujah. And you share those things with others that are around you because they may not get anything. They may not have anything. They may not have family that's sending. They may not have a family that can afford to send anything or a family that cares enough to send anything. And so we do a program called Christmas for the Troops. And that is where we gather items and we prepare to ship them overseas in care packages to be able to help with that experience. Well, these men and women, doesn't matter whether they're shipboard or they're in an Air Force base or they're in a combat zone with the Marines or the Army, they're away from home at this time of year, and they're looking for just a little touch of home from someplace or somewhere to make that happen. Michelle, tell us a little bit about how we try to make that difference.
So we try to provide care packages for our troops. We are currently collecting items for those packages. They're going to be shipped out mid-December. The event is going to be December the 4th, and it's going to be at the Anderson VFW Hall at 3210 West Center Street in Anderson, California. And we will be packaging boxes to ship overseas to our deployed military for Christmas. It seems like every year we get more and more requests for more packages to be sent overseas because somebody's family member is over there and, you know, they know that it's the only Christmas they're really going to get because they can't be home. They can't talk to their family. They can't see their family always. You know, it's even with our modern technologies and different things that the military are able to do now, it's still, you know, you're away from your home. You're away from your family. You're away from your lifestyle, your friends and your neighbors and even your pets. We get people saying, hey, I miss my dog, you know, believe it or not. And I understand that, you know, it's one of those things that unless you've been over there, you don't understand it. But I know with what we do, it blesses a lot of people because we get the emails and the letters and the pictures sent to us through our website and through Facebook and through our personal emails and seeing these platoons of troops where they are sitting there posed with our boxes and their unit flag and our American flag with them wherever they are in the world. And they're just saying a small thank you because we made a huge difference in their Christmas. You know, they get small things like toothpaste and shaving cream and soap and candy and books and different things that we take for granted here in the U.S. that we can just go to the store and buy. And over there, they don't even have the ability to go to any of those places. You know, like you said, sometimes you're out in the middle of the desert or the mountains or the jungle and there's no anything. So you're reliant upon whatever comes from that little care package box. And we stuff them to the gills. I mean, we make sure that they are fully loaded with whatever we can squeeze into them because we use a flat rate box and the prices on those boxes have gone up. So we want to make sure that they're completely stuffed to the gills. So when they open it, it is literally, they get Christmas in a box. You know, it's something they can dish out to their fellow platoon members, their troop, their whole entire crew and say, you know, hey, we're going to play cards or we're going to play football and, you know, we're going to eat Reese's candies or whatever. And it's just a great way for them to have a small piece of home sent to them from someone they may not even know. And we get the cards from the kids and, you know, the pictures that they draw and different things like that. And I know that they love them because they send us those letters telling us how much it means to them.
There was times that we received boxes in Felicia from total strangers that would just send us boxes to our unit. And we would put, I had 25 men on my team. I was the convoy commander for a 25-man convoy team. And we would get all of our boxes together. We'd pick out what we wanted from our home or whatever, and then we would pour all the boxes onto a table, and everybody would just pick and choose and pick and choose from those items. And what was ever left when we went on our next convoy mission, many times we would go out to COPS, which is a combat operational area, combat outpost, for the Marine Corps because we served with the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. And we would go out to those individual locations out by Haditha Dam, which was just miles and miles and miles in the middle of nowhere. One of the largest dams in the world on the Euphrates River for the Haditha Dam. And below that was a Marine Corps COP area, which was a combat outpost. Basically, it's 100 yards by 100 yards. You push it out, make a berm, cover it with concertina barbed wire, and then you live inside of it. And we would take them equipment. We would take them their water, their toilet paper, their MREs. If we didn't show up for that convoy and take those Marines, those items, they had nothing. And so their ammunition. And a lot of times we would pack our extra boxes of the candy and things like that, and we would take it to them and deliver it personally to those Marines because a lot of times their own personal mail, whatever else, wouldn't come to them. That would come in a different convoy. But we made sure, especially since we'd been there once or twice and seen how desolate it was, you know, we lived out of our Humvees. They lived in the dirt. And so we took care of those Marines that were up there at combat outpost, Haditha Dam area. And so that's what it's about. And we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back from our break. But the program's called Christmas for the Troops. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
Hi. Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Shasta County, are you ready for something real special? Mary's Pizza Shack has some changes. We're now Charlie's Tap House, and the Tap House rule number one is come in for the homemade pizzas, pastas, and other house-made specialties, and stay for the beer wall.
Mary's Pizza Shack is now Charlie's Tap House, pizza, pasta, grill. Same family owners and same homemade recipes. Plus, a few more you'll want to try for yourself. Friday nights, try our special hand-cut prime rib for just $28 with all the fixings. And all week, you can enjoy surf and turf or salmon and polenta.
Don't miss Shasta County's premier tap beer wall with your favorite beers on demand that you can order by the ounce. Try our new house beer collaboration with Woody's Brewing, Flippin' Hazy. Your taste buds will thank you. And when you sign up for our Tap House Rewards program, you'll automatically get $5 off towards your next order. Remember, our vibe is casual. The atmosphere is social.
Order online at charlews.com. That's charlews.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California.
I think my dad's going crazy.
And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
HGA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
It was the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give to see just who in this dwelling did live. I looked all around, a strange sight to see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stockings on the mantle, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of far distant lands. Medals and badges, awards of every kind. A sobering thought came alive in my mind. This house was different. It was dark, it was dreary. I had found the home of a soldier. I could see that most clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. His face was so gentle, the room in such disorder, not at all how I pictured a United States soldier. Was this the hero of whom I'd just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? Then I realized the other families that I saw this night owed their lives to soldiers who were willing to fight. In the morning round the world, children would play. Grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. But they all enjoy freedom each month of the year because of soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help but wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in lands far from home. The very thought put a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees. I started to cry. The soldier awakened. I heard his rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. The soldier rolled over and drifted asleep. I couldn't control it, and I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still, as both of us shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave him on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor, so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over with a voice soft and pure. He whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day. All's secure." One look at my watch, I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend. May God bless you this night.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Hey, you know, we're talking about the troops that are serving overseas right now, serving during the holiday season, during Thanksgiving, and serving through Christmas and the New Year's as they come up here shortly. Very, very fast. It just seems like the days go by faster and faster. And so we want to remind you that we have an event coming up this weekend. It's this Saturday, December 4th. It is from 1 to 6. It'll be at the Veterans Hall in Anderson, the VFW Hall, and we will be packaging boxes for the troops. It's called C for T, Christmas for the Troops, and we will be packaging those boxes once again. We talked a little bit about it. Michelle, tell us a little bit about more what we need to have for us to be able to complete this mission.
So we are trying to send approximately 200 boxes this year, and I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're trying to ship that many and they cost about $16.25 a piece, that's a lot. So we need items that can be easily carried in their packs, non-perishable snacks and different toiletries and different items like, you know, the small shaving creams and the toothpaste and the soap. And,
hotel size.
Yeah, hotel size. All the travel type stuff that you would find in a hotel. Even the little pack, the coffee, the small instant coffees or the K-cup type stuff, that all works too. They really love beef jerky. They love Top Ramen. And they like candy, lots of candy. So if you have any leftover Halloween candy.
Hot chocolate.
Yep, hot chocolate.
Powdered chocolate.
Just make sure that the box doesn't open or the package doesn't open.
Well, we Ziploc those. So yeah. The other thing that we need is Ziploc bags, sandwich size and half sandwich size bags. because we'll put the toiletries in there to make sure they open up. Let me tell you, there's nothing worse than getting a box of cookies that tastes like soap. So we want to make sure that we, all of the different liquids and things like that, we put those in Ziploc bags to make sure they don't open up and transport, because those boxes literally get field goalded from one truck to the next by sailors, sometimes Marines. They're put in a great big orange mail bag, and then those bags are literally heaved from one truck to the next. And so, generally speaking, sometimes the cookies are crumbs when you get them. Sometimes the crackers are crumbs when you get them. And you just tear the package open and you just pour it in your mouth. It's like eating Rice Krispies, only they used to be cookies or crackers or whatever they were at the time. And if it's really hot, you know, basically you tear the corner off your candy bar and you squeeze the chocolate in your mouth because it's melted several times over between one part of the world and the other part of the world. And, you know, a lot of times you just look at the stuff and you laugh or whatever else, but you lick every crumb up. You know, all the candy canes are usually broken by the time you get them. So, all those different items like that. Once again, after travels 12,000 miles from one location to the other, or to a ship in the middle of the Mediterranean, or the ship in the middle of the South Pacific or the China Sea, all of those items, you'll find that they're sent out in one, it's physics. They're sent out in one form and they're received in another form. And it's easy to laugh about until you get it and somebody squeezes the toothpaste all over the inside of your box. So once again, those Ziploc bags can become very, very important. And it's important for us to make sure that as we send these items, that we safeguard them and make sure that they get them properly. And so we are once again looking for your donations. We'll be collecting them again this Friday. And then if you'd like to come to the event, you can bring them Saturday to the event. And but it's good for us to have them a little bit ahead of time so we know how many boxes we're going to be shipping out. We are looking for more addresses also. We're always looking for APO, FPO addresses, Army Post Office and Fleet Post Office addresses. Those addresses can only be shipped through the U.S. Postal Service. So we are kind of bound by whatever the prices of the boxes are. Once again, Michelle said the prices have gone up again, and yes, they have, from the Postal Service. And the service is slower now because they've cut back and or can't get employees or whatever the deal is with COVID. Yeah, those are things that we're dealing with. Along with everybody else in the world. So we're going to send up two shipments. We'll send out a shipment immediately after we get them and that first week in December. And then we will always send out another shipment right around the first of the year. So because there's always straggler items and things that come in, and we don't want to hang on to any of those items. We want to get them boxed, and we want to get them shipped. We want them headed overseas to those that are in need. And so once again, you know, we're at home. We have a great Thanksgiving meal. We have our beautiful, peaceful streets and a beautiful fall weather with the sky and the clouds and the trees and the leaves. And yet our military personnel are in some of the most desolate places in the world. And they're serving in our stead. They're there for us. And so we want to make sure that we continue to keep them in our minds and our hearts and our prayers, and to say thank you to them, to continue to make sure that we have the freedom that we have because of their service. It is better to keep the enemy at arm's length than it is to keep them against our chest here at home. And that's what those men and women do. They help keep the enemy on the other shores and away from us here so that we can have the way of life that we have. And many people do not understand that we have what we have because of those who serve for us. Many people take, especially this next generation, seems to take everything for granted. Everything is, a give me. Everything is something that's deserved. Well, let me tell you, and I know sometimes when I say this, people get upset, but the fact of the matter is, if you have not worn the uniform of the United States military, you are a welfare recipient of freedom, because somebody else has paid that price for you. Somebody else is stepping up and doing something that you chose not to do. And so one way for us to just say thank you back to them is to send these boxes, these care packages. And you know, we may not be able to help everybody, but we can help those from our community that are serving and the ones that we don't know as we get addresses. But it's our way of being able to make sure they understand and know that we appreciate the sacrifice that they're making in their own personal lives.
Right. And if anybody wants to find the complete list of all the items that we're looking for, They can go to our website. It's NorCalVeteransMuseum.org or our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/piledriver13. And there, if you click in the photos section, there should be a complete list of all the items in there, as well as the details on the event on December the 4th. So that, again, is from 1 to 6 at the Anderson VFW Event Center at 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. And if they have any questions, they can either contact us through Facebook or through the website or through your phone number like you gave them before. It's 530-510-8210.
And we'll be having pulled pork sandwiches and hot dogs for the kids. So there'll be some great food there and good Christmas music. And we just want to invite you to come and be a part of that as we share our holiday season with those that are serving around the world. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hey friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. Today we're talking about the Fugly from Tabacalera El Artista. Coming in a 5x40 Vitola, the Fugly is priced just right for our value-conscious customers. Draped in a chocolatey brown San Andres leaf, presented in natural or Maduro, this stick is a throwback to a Cheroot vintage. The Fugly from Tabacalera El Artista, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Another year has come and gone, and I'm still here holding on to this rifle and a picture of my kids, saying it's a holiday. Sure as hell don't feel that way. Don't think Jesus meant for it to be like this. Paper star on a plastic tree, forgotten snow in a manger scene. Do the best we can to make it feel like home. Turkey dinner on paper plates. Sergeant bows his head to pray. Boombox playing silent night. Camouflage Christmas lights. Sergeant Bell. plastic tree, cotton snow in a manger scene. We do the best we can to make it feel like home. Turkey dinner on paper plates, Sergeant bows his head to pray. Boombox playing Silent Night, camouflage and Christmas lights. Thank God it's a silent night, camouflage and Christmas lights.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Camouflage and Christmas lights. Been there several times and all around the world, serving our nation and taking care of business with the enemy and being missing home and looking forward to that time when you finally get a chance to be on that freedom flight back to the United States. And so as we were talking earlier about our military personnel that are far away right now, do we have Kyra on the line? Good morning, Kyra.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for talking with us this morning. Kyra Crowell, used to be Kyra Kryle, is on the line with us. She was our first...
Homeward Bound intern.
Well, intern, excuse me. I was losing my word there. She was our first intern for Homeward Bound, and that was several years ago. And now she has married an Army veteran, or Army serving currently in Korea. And Kyra, tell us a little bit. We're going to be sending boxes to your husband. And tell us a little bit about what it's like for you to have been sending boxes in the past to people you didn't know, military personnel. Now we're going to be actually sending boxes to your husband.
Yeah, definitely. That's a really good question. It definitely hits a lot more. It hits you closer to home this year, sending these boxes out, just knowing, like, the situation, like, personally knowing, like, how hard it is to have, like, your service member away from home. And so it really just, it makes it a lot more meaningful this year, because it was meaningful before because these military personnel are away from home and they're away from their families. And so they're getting this box from strangers they don't even know. And then now that I am in a situation where my husband is away, it just really makes it a lot more personal. And it's a really just great experience this year because it means like so much to them, because I remember my husband told me he got a card from like this little kid at school for someone he didn't even know, and it just made him like have like the biggest smile on his face that a complete stranger would still think of them even when they're halfway across the world.
And we know how that is. We've shipped literally thousands since 2008, since me coming back from Iraq. We've shipped almost 8,000 boxes overseas in care packages.
Yes. I actually think that's it might be more than that.
It may be more than that, but it's over 8,000 boxes we shipped in the last 13 years overseas. Christmas for the troops, and that's just from our Northern California area. Mm-hmm. And so you're out of the community right now, so that's why we have you on the phone.
I am up in Washington,
and that's going to be your new duty station, isn't it? Soon your husband comes home. So you're up there.
Yes, we just bought a house, and so we are here trying to get everything put together and ready for when I move in and for when he comes home.
And so that's a big task by itself. I mean, a single bride taking care of things while your husband is gone and making sure that everything's together when he comes back. What's that like, just trying to get all those things together?
It's definitely really busy, a little overwhelming at the same time, but also, like, really rewarding that, like, oh, like, I can actually, like, do this by myself. Like, it is a pain in the butt that I'm doing this by myself, but also it's, like, it almost, like, makes you feel good. It's like, okay, like, at least I get to do this for when he comes home, so it's, like, ready for him. And it's really, like, rewarding to look back and be like, wow, I did all of this, like, by myself. Like, it's kind of like a silver lining in, like, a flexy situation.
Yeah, Kyra has been very instrumental in helping us through Homeward Bound this year since she's been back. And I am so proud of her, having known her since she was, like, 17 years old, and then now having her be an adult and grown up and in her 20s and helping us with this program this year. I just want to say thank you to her so much for helping us with Homeward Bound, for the food drive, with Save Mart, and for all the other things we went around and trying to collect donations. And I am super proud of Kyra, and I think she's amazing, and I am going to miss her like crazy when she's gone. But I'm really grateful that she's been here to help us with this. So you go, girl. You rock.
Well, thank you so much, Rochelle. It has been, like, my honor, like, being back and being able to help out with everything this year. And it's also, like, since I did move away from base and I came back home, it was a really nice connection, like, to the military community, because I didn't, like, because I left all of that behind when I came back home for the year. And so being able to help out, help with the boxes and help with all the other fundraisers and the food drive, it just has really gave me, like, a greater, like, sense of military community still, even though I was, like, away from military life for the past year. It still made the transition easier because I was still connected in a different way.
That's what happens when you work for a senior chief. Hey, your duty station up there is Fort Lewis. I served up there for several years. So you guys, that's where he's going to be serving with the MPs, correct?
Yes, correct. We should be here for at least 3 years.
3 years so up there.
So we are super excited to make the move up here. I'll be moving after Christmas, and so I'm super excited just to get all my house put back together because right now I'm in the middle of tearing my kitchen cabinets apart so they can get repainted. And so I'm really excited to tear the house apart so then I can put it all back together.
Well, that's, you know, being young, having the opportunity of buying your first house, your husband serving overseas right now for our nation, especially during the holiday season. And, you know, we're going to be with you during part of this Christmas season and to keep you a little bit of company before he comes back home and you guys get a chance to reunite, be together as a young family. And we just want to say, I want to say thank you once again for everything that you've been able to help us with through the years, with the program and everything. You started out, you were a dynamo, you're just a go person. And that's one of the reasons that you're successful is you already, if you didn't know, Kyra's working on her master's degree right now in the middle of all this. She's a hard charger, a hard worker. She's a smart young lady. And like I said, I'm just thankful to have you on the team and to be a part of the program. We're going to miss you when you have to leave again, but we know that, you know, that's your life now and that's how things go with your, when you're in the military. And we're going to be shipping boxes to Dear Husband Daily.
I haven't told him yet, and so he's going to be really excited when I tell him. He's going to be so excited because I don't think he has any idea. I don't think he's expecting the boxes to be coming.
Well, you need to just tell him he's going to get a box because we'll probably ship him about 20 boxes, and he'll be sharing them with his unit there in Korea.
You're going to be Santa Claus.
That's right.
He'll be the skinniest Santa Claus.
There's a lot of... like I said, we talked earlier, there's a lot of individuals who serve, but they don't have family. They don't get boxes from their home. And so when your husband gets those boxes, he'll be shipping those. He'll be sharing them with other individuals on the base where he's at. It's a small location there in Korea. But he's a far away from home, and this is our opportunity to help you, to share with him, to say thank you for all of us.
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely just thank you guys, like, so much for everything you've done, like, this past year. Because you guys have worked your butts off to make all of this happen as well.
Well, it's a labor of love, but this is what we do. That's the mission that we're here, we're called to do, and that we continue to do every day here in our community. And once again, if you're out there and you have an address for a loved one that's overseas right now or that's gone from home in the military, we need that address from you, that APO address or that Fleet Post Office FPO address, so that we can go ahead and get that those boxes shipped to them. And once again, Secure Line, you can call my cell phone, which is 530-510-8210, Rob Burrows, and we will make sure that we get that address and that we get those boxes shipped out. Once again, Kyra, thank you again for being on the phone with us this morning. I think it's so important for us to share with people. People need to know, like yourself, that your husband's gone overseas, you're trying to take care of business at home, and make sure that things are taking place. And that happens every day with military personnel all over our United States. And so it's really good to have a spotlight on you so that you can share those things.
I'm always happy to come on and share anything I can with everybody.
Well, we wish you the best with putting things together. We're looking forward to you when you come back so you can be at the event and be safe.
All right, thank you so much. I will see you on Saturday.
Great. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
King News this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. Parts of 10 eastern U.S. states are under blizzard warnings as a powerful storm that could dump as much as 2 feet of snow on Boston is churning up the coast. National Weather Service forecaster Bill Goodman says for New York, the storm should be ending later today.
It looks like the snow in the city should start to taper off during the early afternoon. Should be all done, by evening. It may take a little bit longer as you go farther east. Probably take till, I guess it'll end from west to east through the evening across Long Island.
And shoppers cleared grocery store shelves and raided snowblower dealers on Friday in anticipation. A 50-year-old bridge collapsed in Pittsburgh early yesterday, requiring rescuers to rappel down a ravine about 150 feet to rescue passengers from a municipal bus. The driver, Daryl Luciani, told WPXI he was worried about his passengers.
I was more concerned with getting the people off the bus because I wasn't sure, where the bus was sitting, if it was going to slide backwards. So that was my main concern.
At least four people hospitalized. House Republican Study Committee Chairman Jim Banks told the Salem Radio Network this week the American people are unsatisfied with the Biden administration's immigration policies.
More and more of the American people are recognizing that the crisis at the border isn't just related to illegals. Now we have 2 million illegals that have come over the border since Joe Biden has become president.
All the result of lax policies, says Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, having a deadly impact on the United States.
Fentanyl is streaming into our country. When you hear that high school or college kid in Toledo, Ohio, or Omaha, Nebraska that overdosed, that dangerous drug came over our southern border.
Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona now calling for the resignation of the Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas because he says he's not paying enough attention to the border crisis. More from townhall.com.
I invested in one of those fancy new exercise bikes. Without a doubt, a very special tool to help me get healthier. The problem is 3 days go by, then four, and I've done nothing. And then it's night five, and I'm sitting at the kitchen table, and I look down at myself, and I can't help but just laugh. Because there I am, wearing the exercise t-shirt that came with the bike, and I'm eating two corn dogs. And I think we'd all agree, the special tool only matters if we use it to our benefit. At United Faith Mortgage, we believe we have an advantageous tool for you. Our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions. There's no middleman. And often, this allows us to get you a better rate on your refinance or new home purchase, which can save you monthly and lifelong money. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Either licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Canadian National Railroad has named a new CEO.
The railroad has also reached an agreement with the investment fund that's been pushing it to focus more on cutting costs and streamlining its operations. The Montreal-based railroad says Tracy Robinson will lead Canadian National. Robinson spent 27 years working at rival Canadian Pacific Railroad.
As correspondent Jeremy House reporting, New York State now looking at lowering the farm worker overtime threshold from 60 hours a week.
Some workers say the change would bring long-delayed justice to agricultural workers in New York, many of whom are Latino. But the prospect is alarming farmers. They warn the extra costs would wipe out marginal farms, hobble others, and actually reduce workers' earnings if farmers cap hours to manage expenses. A state board will make recommendations to Governor Kathy Hochul's labor commissioner, who can accept, reject, or modify them. Keith Peters reporting.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Health officials say coronavirus cases in Oregon are slowing down.
Oregon health officer and epidemiologist Dr. Dean Seidlinger says Oregon hospitals are struggling as hospitalizations due to the Omicron wave peak in that state. With over 1,100 coronavirus patients statewide, Seidlinger reports that only 59 adult intensive care unit beds were available, and 94% of non-ICU beds were filled as of Thursday. About a week ago, the governor more than doubled the number of National Guard members deployed to help with non-clinical duties at places like West Valley Hospital in Dallas, Oregon, which has seen high volumes and shortages in staff. Seidlinger says cases are plateauing with a 9.5% decrease from the week before, but it will still take weeks for hospitalizations to come back down. He says nearly all the most recent deaths from COVID-19 could have been prevented by vaccines. He urged people to wear masks in public and continue to limit large gatherings. I'm Jennifer King.
More on these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Listening to Battlefield Expressions. We have our next guest here. Our next guest is Robert and Donna Logan, and we just want to welcome you this morning, Robert. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Robert is a Korean War. He entered into the United States Army Air Corps right at the end of World War II, and he was drafted, and then he flew during the Korean War. And so we want to talk with him this morning. Robert, I just want to say thank you for being here this morning, and thank you for your service to our nation. Mr. Logan, Robert Logan, are you 94 or 95?
I'm actually 93.
93, coming up on 94.
Yes.
And so your birthday is right around the corner, isn't it?
December 20th.
Well, you may as well be 94. That's less than 30 days. So happy birthday to you.
Yeah, I'll take it.
So this morning, as we're talking, I'd like you to just tell a little bit about why you joined the military. You worked for the civilian the civil defense as a welder before you were drafted into the military. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about what that was like right there during the end of World War II, as you're getting ready to be drafted into the Korean War and to be a pilot, a fighter pilot.
Uh-huh. Yes, that was interesting. All right, that was quite a transition for a high school graduate. How I was, which is my claim to fame at the time, was a high school graduate.
Yeah, there's many that never finished high school. They went directly into the military.
Yeah, except they didn't always take anybody right out of high school, to my knowledge. That was a no-no. And the same thing was, even college people had an exemption from the draft if they chose to talk about it. So anyway, it was pretty well known at the time that those people that were continuing what they call an education that required college performance, they would know that those people would not have to be drafted. They would work out something, and that's the way they worked it.
So when you were drafted, where did they send you? Did you go into the Army or the Army Air Corps at that time?
I chose Army Air Corps because it said AIR.
It said air, huh?
Yeah.
And you wanted something to do with airplanes.
Yep, I did. And I didn't actually have in mind becoming a pilot when I went there. I got I was a PFC and a corporal and a buck sergeant, I believe. I was up for buck sergeant. I was in there for 2 years before having to transfer to USAF.
And that was about 1947 is when the Air Force became the Air Force. So you went from the Army Air Corps into the new Air Force.
Well, actually, no. I got an invitation because of my age. They notify people that are willing to try something new, I guess, because they suggested that they wanted me to take a test to see if I could pass the test, 2-year college equivalent test, to see if I could qualify myself to go to cadet training to learn to fly.
And you must have passed that.
Yeah. I said yes, yes. So I took the test and I passed it. And they put me on orders and sent me into a flying class in 1948. This took place.
Now, where was your cadet school that you flew out of?
Out of San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, that was the only place. Trying to recall the name of the base.
Was that Williams?
No. The basic training took place in San Antonio at
Harrington. Was that Harrington Field?
San Antonio was. Say it again.
Harrington. That's where you were sent to after that for graduation, cadet school.
I'm gonna look real fast here and see. San Antonio is.
So when you were flying, were you flying the AT-6, the trainer?
Hamilton, no, it doesn't say it here. When I wrote this, I didn't include that place.
What was your trainer? What did you train in?
In AT-6 was the airplane of the choice of the air. The Air Force was using the AT-6 as the training plane for primary and basic training for pilots at that time. And so they, when I got to that particular airfield, which is at San Antonio, I was assigned to a class, and my class was called 49B. And the reason for that is that would be the graduation year and time would be 1 year. It's a 1-year class. And so they assigned me to 49B, and I graduated along with that particular class, and there were a whole bunch, a large number of us. 4 large barracks full of 4 stories high in that airfield that held, I don't know, I'd say probably 800 guys went through that class at the same time.
And how many graduated? How many graduated out of your class?
Well, that means you have to go be assigned an instructor and go flying, mostly. But there was ground school clear until you left the field. I can't think of the name of that base. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, the field that a primary and basic training base was the only place that they had that primary and basic training, period. And from there, why you got sent to advanced training, which was at different bases. And I got sent to jet training in Williams Air Force Base in Arizona, near Phoenix. And it was the only jet training base in existence anywhere in the world at the time. It was the only place.
We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll talk more about you going to your jet school at that time. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Shasta County, are you ready for something real special? Mary's Pizza Shack has some changes. We're now Charlie's Tap House, and the Tap House rule number one is come in for the homemade pizzas, pastas, and other house-made specialties, and stay for the beer wall.
Mary's Pizza Shack is now Charlie's Tap House, pizza, pasta, grill. Same family owners and same homemade recipes. Plus, a few more you'll want to try for yourself. Friday nights, try our special hand-cut prime rib for just $28 with all the fixings. And all week, you can enjoy surf and turf or salmon and polenta.
Don't miss Shasta County's premier tap beer wall with your favorite beers on demand that you can order by the ounce. Try our new house beer collaboration with Woody's Brewing, Flippin' Hazy. Your taste buds will thank you. And when you sign up for our Tap House Rewards program, you'll automatically get $5 off towards your next order. Remember, our vibe is casual. The atmosphere is social.
Order online at charlews.com. That's charlews.com.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
He was a famous trumpet man from our Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand, because the next day the cap went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. A toot, a toot, a toot, a toot, he blows it eight to the bar. In boogie rhythm, he can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar is playing with him. He makes a company jump when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
He was a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. And when he plays boogie woogie bugle, he was busy as a bee. And when he plays, he makes the company jump eight to the bar. He's a boogie boogie bugle boy of Company B. Do 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 da da do da da do do. He blows it eight to the bar. He can blow a note, hit the bass and guitar isn't with him. And the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
Thank you.
sleep with Boogie every night and wakes them up the same way in the early bright. They clap their hands and stamp their feet because they know how he plays. When someone gives him a beat, he really breaks it up when he plays reveille. He is the Boogie Woogie Bugle Ball of Company B.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning, Robert Logan. He is a World War II Korean War veteran, and he is our guest this morning, along with his wife, Donna, that's here this morning, and their niece is here also this morning. And so we want to welcome you and say thank you for being here today. And we're talking about you're just going through your boot camp for aviation. You served and you just passed the test for the cadet school, and now you're getting ready. They're sending you to your jet training. And so thank you again, Robert, for being here this morning. And talking about your career, getting ready to go into fighter school for the Korean War.
Yeah, they assigned me to go to the same class number, but what they did is they split the class into three or four parts because it was the smaller bases out in around Texas, and the one at Williams Air Force Base in Phoenix. Arizona, why that one was a rather small base, so they could only handle like one barracks full of 2B jet pilots at a time, and then we had them. We were sleeping in, and it was for six half of a year basically, because it's 6 months for primary basic and 6 months for final. For upperclassmen, they called it. So we went through that routine, and the first two took place down in at Randolph Field, that the primary basic, and then the last 6 months was all at Phoenix.
And when did you go to Hamilton? When were you sent to Hamilton Field?
That was on graduation, after they had anointed me with being a second lieutenant.
So what were some of the aircraft that you trained on when you went to jet school?
It was an F-80, F-80. It was the first jet fighter that our country has built. And it was a radial engine jet. In other words, it was an air compressor. And it didn't have ram air, not to the point that it used all the ram air for propulsion. It used part, a little bit of air that it sucked in through the intakes, but it also had an air compressor built into the engine, and it provided all of the air that could get to the engine. It gave it 3,800 pounds of thrust, and now out of that 3,800 pounds of thrust, it would do about 580 miles an hour. That was it. It was not supersonic.
So when you flew that aircraft, it was your training aircraft, did you ever have close calls when you were out flying that F-80?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. I made friends. One friend of mine and I became close friends, and he was George, his name was, and he's from Pennsylvania, and we were on the same flight instructor at advanced training at Phoenix. And our flight instructor took us up one time and told us to go practice fighter tactics. Well, they told us all about what they could tell us on the ground. So they said, you know, here's an airplane for you, and here's an airplane for you. Now that you can fly them, you're going to learn how to shoot them down. So we had to go up and practice to see who could win a dogfight, I guess we call it. And so we did that. Instructor had told us you pick a road that's nice and straight, or a railroad, and fly out for a minute, make a U-turn, come back flying right over the railroad very closely, and when you get there, you break, and then the fight begins to see who wins. And the fight, that fight meaning play like shoot each other down.
Right. So no ammunition, just who could get behind who.
Yeah. They didn't even let us use cameras, but we had it. But what happened was even more interesting. And that was we did that, and we missed each other. Coming back, we were moving just fast, over 1,000 miles an hour.
Right, ahead to head.
Going opposite direction. We passed without seeing each other. And the instructor says, good grief, you guys have blind. How come you can't see, you know? So he made us do it again. Well, the next time was even worse.
Well, he was on the ground watching.
Oh, he was in the air in another fighter, just like we were flying. He was watching. And what we did again was another disaster. And that was we got all lined up and did it again. Only this time we weren't out of line. We were nose to nose. We came back. We were very careful. And we met each other right where we were supposed to meet, straight on. I recognize his airplane from about, I don't know, a mile or two ahead. All you can see is three dots, a fuselage round thing, and a fuel tank on the wingtip. On each wingtip, three little dots. And right then, I knew it was too late. So I broke right. And he broke right because he had the same thing happen to him. We met perfectly, head to head. We set up a perfect head-on collision by accident. Anyway, we both broke right. And as we went past each other, he had gone that way and I had gone the other way. Fortunately, normal reaction.
Right away from
get
each
away.
Other.
Well, my airplane, we passed. So close that my airplane got in his airplane.
I buffeted
went by, my airplane buffeted, which meant I was only about that far away.
Yeah, 6 feet.
And
so you could have been a Blue Angel.
And that was the end of that. We quit right then. It shook us so bad. We couldn't go back. We had, took us a little while to get back and land, get out of the airplane. It scared us so much.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of the bigger scares I ever had in my life.
Right.
Because then I pledged that I would never let that happen again. But I did.
Well, that's a good thing because you're here to talk about it.
Yeah, it was. I'll tell you, it was really scary. I knew I was within about that far of losing everything.
Well, after experiencing that, actually going into combat should have been a lot easier, right?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
You already had the biggest scare of your life.
That isn't something you practice.
Right. Well, that's as close to combat as you were going to get that day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Oh, you can. I guess as long as you're not dead, well, you get some bragging rights.
Well, you know, they say there's old pilots and there's bold pilots, but there's very few old, bold pilots.
Yeah,
and so you're a special breed, being an old, bold pilot.
No, I've had others. I had the powers that be at that base was at Misawa, Japan, the farthest south Japanese island. There's an airfield right at the tip of that island. I don't remember the name of the Japanese name of that island, but... But it was the most southern tip, northern tip of Japan, and it was the name of it was Misawa. And anyway, they assigned me to a flight leader and told me to go fly with him. And so this flight leader told me to get on his tail in trail position. And to me, that meant the same thing to everybody in the Air Force, and that is trail position is with hands in this position.
Right, one above the other, right
this
behind
is
each
you
other.
Is the second guy. And this is the guy, the flight leader. And what happens is that he can try to shake you off. And he tries. And he in his zeal, he almost overdid it, I thought, because I considered that he was gave a good shot at trying to kill me, because he did a loop off of the sand. We were down, it was an island, and it was, so we were on a beach, And we were flying maybe 30, 40 feet high, doing 500 miles an hour. And we were only about head high off of the ground. Well, that's scary enough.
Right.
And when we, he pulled up to pull four G's and pulled up, and I followed him like that. Like, that's what you do in trail. You stay with him. And in theory, if you're shooting at an enemy, you'd be pulling the trigger, shooting 50 caliber bullets at him.
Right.
But in this case, he was supposed to try to get me, scare me off of his tail, I guess. You almost succeeded.
Hold that thought, Robert. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest, Robert Logan, Korean War pilot veteran.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change. With our extensive training program, it's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is American Patrol by Glenn Miller. And the American Patrol was dedicated to our airmen who fought during World War II and the Korean War. And so, once again, our guest this morning, Robert Logan, he flew the F-80 and other aircraft during the Korean War. We're talking about some of his training experience right now, get preparing to go into Korea to fight as a combat pilot. And Donna, his wife, and I apologize, I forget the niece is here also.
Susan.
Susan, thank you for being here. And Susan helps to take care of Robert. Robert is 93. He's going to have his 94th birthday next month on the 21st. And so we want to say happy birthday to you, Robert. And thank you for being here today and to be our guest. And so we'd like to carry on where we were at. We were just talking about you're on the beachhead there in Japan, and you're flying on the surface, and you're chasing your instructor as part of your training, and it's a pretty tight maneuver you were in.
Yeah, no, I was following this clown that's supposed to be an expert, but he had me
self-proclaimed
in
trail expert
position below him, and I was maybe 20 feet high off of the beach, and he had me flying formation between him and the beach.
Well, you're pretty much in his jet wash.
I was in the jet wash, yeah. and practically within sand wash. You know, it was ridiculous. But anyway, he pulled up, and what I didn't know he was going to do is what he did. He pulled up to do a loop, and he did it, a loop. And I didn't know if this airplane could do that. And I didn't know it all the way down, looking at the earth coming back at me straight. So I was going straight down.
Right.
Wondering if I was going to live.
You could pull through
very
it.
Much longer. Because it was a real scary thing. I didn't know for sure. Pulling, you know what G-forces go.
Yes, sir.
Pulling four or over. Well, you start losing some of your vision.
Sure.
And I was right at that point, because that's where you, without a G suit, that's where you start losing it, is 4 G's, where your vision
pulling
starts
the blood
going away.
Your head, yes.
It was like the shadow knows.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, obviously back, you know, right after World War II, still into Korea, still flying by the seat of their pants. I mean, obviously, you're not supposed to fly that way now, even though they still do fly that way. I know that when I was first learning to fly, after I had flown, I had put myself in a couple of different positions flying the aircraft where I questioned myself afterwards. And I think that every pilot goes through that at one point or another in their career, whether they're civilian or whether they're military. And so, so after you're going through this training, about what was it when they put your unit in Korea to start flying in Korea?
Same airplane. They didn't make enough of them, so they kept making them while we were in training.
So was that the F-80?
And they had gone through an A and a B model, but they weren't using them to fly. Combat or any particular use. They weren't being used except for production to build an air force, because they got rid of all the propeller fighters.
Right at the end of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had literally destroyed all the P-51 Mustangs in Europe.
They stopped building airplanes right at the armistice, I think, and then they didn't start it up again until they had a new class. 49B was the first class to restart after World War II.
Wow, I didn't realize you were in that first class like that. So anyway, you were that first group of fighter pilots going back into Korea after World War II.
Yeah, so there were a host of old-time fighter pilots in there. My instructor was an old-time fighter pilot. It was retirement age, really.
And what was considered retirement age? 45?
He was a captain, and he was his name was Boone, believe it or not, and he was the sharpest, neatest old guy that I ever flew with, and he flew an airplane, and as a first combat plane for him was a P-26. A P-26 is open cockpit.
Wow.
and he flew as a fighter pilot. And I don't know if he actually shot anybody down during his tenure, but can you imagine doing it from an open cockpit airplane?
So where were you stationed when they sent you into Korea?
What got me there?
No, where were you stationed?
Oh, my. First place was Hamilton Air Force Base at San Francisco. And they told me they gave us students a choice. And they gave us a couple of two choices. So I picked either March Field in Southern California. March Field is somewhere near...
south of Riverside.
Yeah, there you go. It was Riverside. That's the name of the nearest town of any size, and it's not a very big town, but it's like Reading or smaller.
Was.
Yeah.
Was.
Now it's the size of L.A.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So were you at Pusan? Where were you located in Korea?
In Korea was at, I was, my entire service time there was all at the same base. As Taegu was the name of the Korean town. Was Taegu, and it was called by everybody K2 was the number of that field. And Pusan, if you recall that rather famous town name, was right at the ocean on the China Sea. That was the end of the isthmus for how Korea hangs down into the ocean, you know, from a landmass from China.
I was going to jog your memory about something, but when you were sent over there, there was no base in Korea. You had to fly out of Japan.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. My first 20 or 30 missions were flown out of Itazuki Air Force Base in Japan. And they had, because they were working on K2, we wasn't ready yet. They were building a runway for us to use. And it turned out that it was a bad one, but it was... there were other airfields that had pavement. I never did try to pin down any high-ranking person that would be honest with me to tell me why they did it backwards.
Well, now, at K2 was a metal runway.
Yeah.
It's an expedient runway with runway matting.
We call it pierced plank.
And so tell me some of the stories about when you were landing the aircraft and taking off there with that metal runway.
Yeah, well, the F-80 was the lowest powered fighter I think that ever made it into service. You know, 3,800 pounds of thrust is most business jets now have more than that are flying in this modern age. They're got more thrust and faster, they cruise faster and so forth. I don't think any of them can fly, faster than the speed of sound, and because they have to beat what we call compressibility, and that is somewhere on the airplane there will be a supersonic flow over the wings or the airplane somewhere and disrupt the normal flow of air over the airplane, and the airplane starts shaking. And, of course, they put the red line at that point.
Right, for Mach 1.
Uh-huh. So we were, in theory, we're pretending like test pilot.
I was thinking about also when he told me that he flew out of Japan, they were only had enough gasoline or fuel in the plane for one run in order to get back to land in Japan. So they could make one run, drop the bombs, and come back.
We had to cross almost 100 miles of ocean to get to the Korea, and then if we wanted to shoot somebody that was 100 miles north into Korea, and the North Koreans had invaded southerly and gone almost clear to Pusan. They were almost wiping the whole peninsula clean of people except their own armies. They were that strong.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest, Robert Logan, Korean War veteran pilot.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51.
a Jefferson state of mind.
The State Cultural Education Center and SCAR, in partnership with the Cottonwood Community Center, are having a free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Tuesday, February 8th, from noon until 6 p.m. All COVID-19 vaccines will be available, including boosters, at the Cottonwood Community Center at 20595 Gas Point Road. Kids 5 to 11 and youths 12 to 17 must be accompanied by parents or guardians for consent. Come in and get vaccinated and enjoy free food while organizers hand out gift cards to vaccine recipients. No appointment needed. Free COVID-19 testing kits will also be available at the Cottonwood Community Center at 20595 Gas Point Road, Tuesday, February 8th, during the free COVID-19 vaccination clinic from noon until 6 p.m. Multilingual translators will also be available at this free clinic that is dedicated to the Cottonwood neighbors.
Hey friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. Today we're talking about the Fugly from Tabacalera El Artista. Coming in a 5x40 Vitola, the Fugly is priced just right for our value-conscious customers. Draped in a chocolatey brown San Andres leaf, presented in natural or Maduro, this stick is a throwback to a Cheroot vintage. The Fugly from Tabacalera El Artista, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Come, zooming to meet our thunder, and a voice, give us a gun. Down we go, coming up there.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is in honor of our guest this morning, Robert Logan, Korean War veteran, Army Air Corps, and Air Force veteran. Before we come back to Robert, we're going to talk once again. We just have a couple of items that we want to discuss really quick about events that are coming up very closely for the museum and for Homeward Bound. Michelle, will you talk about those real quick?
Sure. So next weekend, the 4th, is our Packing for the Troops event. That's going to be from 1 to 6 at the Veterans Event Hall at the VFW in Anderson, and that's 3210 West Sutter Street in Anderson. And then on the 11th, we are going to do another paint night fundraiser, and that's going to be at our fire station down there, the old fire station in Cottonwood, and it's 3271 Brush Street. And it's going to be at 6:30 p.m. It'll be $35 per person. And it'll include all the supplies, full instruction, and the snacks, and a really fun time. The last one was really good. We had a good, fun crew in there. And we'll be painting a little Christmas scene with a truck and
an old truck and a Christmas tree.
And, yeah, some fun little things there. And then on the 18th and 19th, Save Mart has graciously, again, offered to do another food drive for us for our Christmas meals. So we'll be there from 8 to 8 both days and collecting another, hopefully, 100 meals for our Christmas families this year.
And once again, if you have a family that you'd like to nominate to receive a Christmas meal, ham and groceries, please get that information to us. You can leave the message at the museum office, and that's 530-378-2280, and we will make sure that we get them taken care of at Christmas time. Once again, our guest this morning, Robert Logan, Korean War veteran and pilot, fighter pilot. And Robert, I just want to say thank you again for being here. It's a privilege and honor to meet you and to have you be able to tell your story and to share that with us this morning. 93 years, headed to 94 here in another couple of weeks. And so we thank you for being able to, for your service and sharing that with us today. And Donna, what was it we were talking about earlier in the break?
Well, we were talking about the fact that these men are our heroes, true heroes. And when you hear their stories and when you read their bios, you really realize what the cost that they used to give us freedom. I've never been in the military, but I know now from being married to Robert for so many years that this is a big deal. And all of our veterans should, yes, and all of our veterans should be supported in whatever branch of the service they've been in. And so I'm appreciative. I really appreciate him. He is my hero. And I like hearing his stories, and maybe you have time to listen to the one about where he had his canopy fly open at altitude.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Robert?
Mm-hmm. I will. It was one of the scarier times.
You had many scary times in your career.
Yeah, they didn't design the airplane for that to happen.
Right, yes, no.
All they gave us to, if you ever had to get out of an airplane, they give you a parachute, right? Trouble is, then they made the airplane capable of going to 50,000 feet, you know, and so what happens then?
There's no oxygen.
There's no oxygen up there, and the canopy opened all the way open. And I'm amazed that it didn't take off, something didn't blow up, you know, because of the... It wasn't designed to be open, and I was at maximum speed.
You truly were a test pilot.
Mm-hmm. I was doing right at 600 miles an hour, and I'm sitting there with my shoulder about 2 inches from 600 mile an hour wind. I thought, I don't think I'll stick my finger out there.
And didn't it try to pull you out?
Yeah, it was trying. It was the air pressure was trying to vacuum me out of my
cockpit,
right?
Yeah.
Straight up. They were trying to pull me out like a big vacuum cleaner, a big one.
So at that point, were you over Korea at the time, and were you over the combat zone at that time, or were you headed back from a mission?
I was probably stateside.
Oh, it happened in the United States.
Stateside, but it happened in a very capable airplane. Is it the F-84 model made by Republic Aviation on Long Island? And that one would we open the canopy when you're on the ground. Period, because you have air. Cockpit is airtight, supposedly, so you can have. You don't have to have 100% oxygen. You can select 100% oxygen. But you don't get it unless you absolutely need it. The sensors are designed to give you 100% oxygen when you're extreme altitudes. And this was extreme. You don't can't get them any higher than that because they can't support any kind of combustion above 50,000 feet. There's no oxygen up there to breathe or make flame.
Right.
Did you black out? I've forgotten. Did you black out?
No. I was calm as a cucumber.
And we don't believe that either. So how did you survive?
Well, you know, the first thing I thought of was I thought I can't. They made, believe this or not, they made what they called a bailout bottle. I have one with me. It just happens that they're the same now as they were then. I'm really, but I'm wearing this one because I have a lung problem.
Mm-hmm. Right, with the oxygen.
Because I'm on oxygen 24/7, according to the doctors. And they...
So how did the bailout bottle save you?
You can't, because it's only good for 5 minutes.
We're still trying to find out how come you're still here.
I was 10 miles from Firma.
Oh.
10 miles up is how far it is to 50,000 feet. So there was no way that you couldn't jump bail out. There was no such thing as a parachute. You were wasting time. I would rather have fuel.
So did you go straight down, or?
No, I did what I thought was logical and a normal reaction. I cut the power to idle the engine and pulled the nose up to slow up the airplane. I didn't have to take a lesson to know what to do. I'll tell you what, it told him slow up fast.
Did you just do a spiral?
Huh?
Did spiral to lose altitude?
It's all right all the way down to, and then all I could do was hold maximum speed with the power all the way off when the dive brake down. And that's full descent. And of course that makes the go down meter say max, and they only went up to, I forget what a rate of climb thing goes down to, but they go down to something like 5 or 10,000 feet a minute. So at that rate, it's still going to take you, 10 minutes?
Yeah, to drop down like a rock, yes.
So you're going to be dead before you get down there. So why bother?
So then how did you actually level off, and what happened to the canopy?
Well, it's because I held the mask against my face.
Oh, I see.
Did the oxygen regulator handy to the pilot, you push the lever to 100%. And that, by doing it that way, I had oxygen all the way down, because, you know, when a canopy opened, the mask tried to fly off of my face.
Right.
Because it tried to compensate,
yeah, vacuum
for the
off
loss of pressure by upping the pressure. And all it did was blow the mask away from my face.
Well, Robert, we're getting down to our final time. I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about your combat duty in Korea, but we've only got like a minute and a half left. And so this morning, I'm going to have you come back again as we have an opportunity, because I really would like to have you talk a little bit more about your flying capability in Korea. And how many missions did you have total while you flew there in Korea?
I flew 120.
120 combat missions in Korea against the communist Chinese.
Some of them from starting from Japan, and the rest of them all from K2.
Well, you are obviously a very capable pilot because of all the things that you survived, and flying up against the enemy and being able to survive in combat when you were flying, dropping bombs and air-to-air combat with the MiGs. And so once again, we have just a minute left. I want to say thank you, Donna, for being here with Robert and Brigham and Susan, and for you to be here today. It's an honor to have you here today. It's an honor to be able to listen to your story. And we can never say thank you enough to those who serve and put their lives on the line. I know that we had talked earlier when you were at the museum about some of the pilots you flew with that didn't make it home. They didn't come back. And so we remember them also for those that are not here with us today,
yes,
and those that sacrificed. Korea is called the Forgotten War, but we don't forget here. The Veterans Museum is about remembrance,
yes,
and we continue to remember, and we continue to remember your story as you speak with us and talk with us. And thank you once again for being here today. We greatly appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, thank you. Happy birthday.
Yes, that's
happy
right.
Birthday.
Happy birthday. You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. We will talk to you next week. Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional.